Let's make welcome as Brother Tapia comes to preach to us tonight. Amen.
Amen. Stand with me for the reading of the word, if you would. Amen. I'm going to turn over to Ezekiel 47, start with verse number 3. Ezekiel 47, start with verse number 3. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful to be here once again with you good people. Amen. Give honor to your pastor and his lovely wife. And amen. Thankful for them and their ministry. Amen. Thankful for Brother and Sister Marsh and their ministry. Her and another sister were in the house of the Lord last night praying and touching heaven. And my wife told me that they were, she said, baby, they were really, really praying. And thankful for that. Thankful for people that will come in and seek the face of the Lord. And that will tap into the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Give honor to my wife. Thankful for her.
Amen.
She's my encouragement on days where I need it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thankful for her. Amen. We're so saddened with this being our last service together. I heard a preacher say one time that his least favorite parts of revival was the first service and the last. It was the first because we took a little bit and tried to figure each other out. And we're just introduced to each other. And then it's the last because finally we've grown attached and now we have to leave. Amen. But we truly, truly, truly have felt such a burden for this place and for the city. And we love this great church and are praying for revival to continue. Amen. Ezekiel 47, starting verse number 3. And it says, and when the man had the line in his hand and went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And again, measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Mm-hmm. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. And afterwards, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Ezekiel's really stressing this moment. It's in Scripture when you read something and it's saying it multiple times. It's not just doing that to waste ink. It's there because it's trying to grab your attention. That's when Jesus says, "Verily, verily," he's saying, "Hey, baby, listen up, because I'm about to tell you something." And so Ezekiel, he's stressing it. He's saying, in this vision, he took me to a place and eventually I got to the place where that water was a river, and it was waters that were so evident, waters that were so deep that it was a river that could not be passed over, a river that could not be passed over. Amen. I just want to take some time tonight, and I won't be long, but I just want to help us, and I want to preach to you on this subject. Go deeper. Go deeper. Would you sit down in your Bibles? Would you lift up your hands? Would you lift up your voice? Would you help me pray here tonight? Father, we need you, God. God, we need your presence. We need you. Come on, would you help me pray right now? God, we need you to move.
Lift up your holy name, Jesus. Magnify your holy name, Jesus. Lord, God, help us to go deeper into you, deeper into you, into your spirit, Lord, to learn of you, Lord God, and spiritual warfare, Lord God.
Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. This book of Ezekiel is sandwiched between two different books, Lamentations and the book of Daniel. This is the beginning of the book of prophecies, as some people put down. And it goes over the prophet of the man, named Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a man, a vessel that God has used and used to prophesy to, and used to see visions. And here in the specific scripture, we're reading where Ezekiel, it's thought that he's around his 50s, and it is debated exactly what it means, what the specific scripture means. Some people use it as a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost. Some people use it as a type and shadow of the things that the Lord was wanting to show Ezekiel. But I believe that the word of the Lord is never ending, and it is, in fact, everlasting. And sometimes we read scripture, and it is intended for us to use for a specific time and specific purposes during our reading. Reading this type of scripture here this afternoon, if you begin to read it, for me personally, it's almost like the Lord's using a highlighter to pop out specific details of the verse. And there'll be times where I read and it feels like I'm just reading everyday words and it really doesn't make sense. But yet, there's other times where I begin to read the Word of the Lord and it's almost as if the Lord is putting stuff in bold and He's trying to use it specifically to help us. Amen. And so tonight, I just want to help, if I could be that highlighter and begin to highlight some things in Scripture, I would, and I'd like to help this church. And one thing that I'd like to say, if I could start off, is just a simple push. Can I say that it's time for this church and it's time for every saint of God who's in this house to personally go deeper?
Amen.
It's time, and it is prime time for you to get more dedicated in your prayer life than you ever have been before. It's time, and it's time tonight for something to stir up in somebody's soul, for something to stir up in somebody's spirit, that you make up your mind, I'm going to give more of God than I've ever had before. I'm going to go deeper in the Holy Ghost than I've ever gone before. I'm going to give more of the Lord in my life than I ever have before. What needs to happen in order for this come to pass is, number one, some of us need to stop coming to church and going through the motions. Amen. I'll say it again.
Amen.
Some of us need to quit coming to church and going through the motions.
Amen.
Some of us need to come to church, and we don't need to come to church and just have a casual Pentecostal patty cake, just an average service, but we need to come to church, and if we want to go deeper, we got to worship the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds. We got to worship the Lord with all of our might, even when we don't feel good, even when we're having a bad day, even when we're sick in our body, even when we're frail in our spirit. We got to worship more than we ever worshiped before. It's time to go deeper. It's time to get to a deeper place. It's time for us to consecrate ourselves and allow our prayer life to get to a place where it does something every time we step in a building, every time we walk in somewhere. Sinners begin to take notice, and principalities in high places, and dark demons and devils begin to take notice when you walk into the room. But can I tell you, it won't happen you just having a you only praying on Sunday prayer life. It's not going to happen you only praying on Wednesday prayer lives. It's time to go deeper. It's time for this church to go deeper. It's time for our worship team. It's time for our worship to go deeper. It's time for our prayer, for our pre-service prayer to go deeper. It's time for us to come in. And you know what? It doesn't matter if we got something on our mind. It doesn't matter if we're fighting hell. We come into the house of the Lord and we begin to stir up something in us. And we begin to walk into deeper waters and watch as the Lord begins to take care of every problem we have. And watch as the Lord begins to come in and do the miraculous. And watch as the Lord begins to come in and stir us. We've got to go deeper. We've got to go deeper. Can I tell you that there has to be a shift that begins to happen in the spiritual realm, in the culture of this assembly, because God is calling and He is drawing, He is stirring in the hearts of many, and He wants us to go deeper. Say deeper.
Deeper.
Say it again, deeper.
Deeper.
He wants us to go deeper. With deeper comes greater revival. With deeper comes greater news of the Holy Ghost. With deeper comes miracles, signs, and wonders. With deeper comes revival like we've never seen before. Can I tell you tonight that people, that sinners will not settle for dead church?
Amen. No. Amen. Amen.
People, I'm telling you, this world has too much to offer for us to have dead church.
Amen.
This world has too much to offer for us just to have come in and have just regular cookie-cutter services where we just come in and we never have a move of a move of the Holy Ghost, where we just come in and we just play games and go through the motions, and you expect your backslidden baby to come back home?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it won't work that way. We got to get deeper. We got to come in and we got to get to a place where the Spirit of the Lord begins to stir and we begin to allow the Lord to draw us where He can push us to a place that's deep.
Amen. Amen.
We got to learn to flow with the Holy Ghost. We got to learn. Here we're reading Ezekiel, and what happens is Ezekiel starts off in this vision, and he starts off and he's in the water. He starts off and he's just a little in the spirit. And what happens is this angel pulls him. He invites him, takes him deeper, and here he begins to walk. The Bible begins to tell us that he goes a little bit, and the water goes from the ankles to the knees, to the loins, from the loins to the waist. And what we're seeing is Ezekiel is taking, he's having to literally get himself up and begin to walk into a deeper place. Can I tell you, you're not just going to go to the bank, go to the beach, wherever you're thinking you're going. You're not just going to walk up right there and just expect to be in the deep end. That's not how it works. But you got to allow yourself to move. You got to force yourself to walk. Can I tell you, it's just like Bishop Holmes says. He says you got to grab yourself by the nape of your neck and you got to force yourself to begin to pray. You got to make your flesh pray. Can I tell you, even though there's benefits to prayer, even though we know that there's blessings and that the Lord wants to speak to us and have a relationship with us, your flesh doesn't want to pray.
That's right.
You can act only if you want to, but I'll tell you, there's times I don't feel like praying. There's times Sister Tapia has to look at me in the face and say, did you spend time in prayer today? Did you pray today? Because my flesh doesn't want to pray. And just the same with you, your flesh doesn't want to pray. And if you want to come to church and say, oh, I always want to pray, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Hey, I'm telling you, your flesh doesn't want to pray. But if you will force your flesh, and if you will make up your mind, even in the Holy Ghost. There has to be a push for deeper.
Yeah.
And what begins to happen is Ezekiel, finally he gets to a place where he walks so much that it goes from where he can touch that floor to what now it's waters to swim in. It's waters that he can't control. He begins to stress the point. He's really writing home about it. He's saying it's a river that could not be passed over. It's a river. It's water that could not be passed over. You know what that is? That's us flowing in the Holy Ghost. That's us coming to church. And we're not just, what happens is we come in and we have our feet wet and we feel a couple goosebumps and we feel the Spirit move a little bit, but we never allow the Lord to move us to such a deep place where it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of offering, it doesn't matter if it's in the first song and the last song. We have people who are so overwhelmed by the waters, they're so overwhelmed by the Spirit that you can't control. Hey, I'm telling you, I know we got to have order, but I'm telling you, the greatest thing we could ever do in our service is learn to get in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Verbal Bain was a man who was used mightily in from the Lord. And there's many stories that we could go into about Verbal Bain. I'll give you just one quickly. He begins to step into a revival, and he's praying. And he always made sure everywhere he went that he prayed before he ever started revival. If the revival was going to go on for 7 days, he'd ask to come in 7 days prior. And he'd just stay in the church and pray. And he would have no contact with those pastors, but he would just come in and he would fast and pray for multiple days in a row. And one story that we have, just to kind of show you, I'm not talking T.D. Jakes, I'm talking somebody that's really flowed in the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Amen. We have one story, one example of Verbal Bain where he is in a church and he's praying, and the Lord literally pulled him out of the church and took him, we'll say he was just a couple blocks over down the road, and he took him left, he took him right, and he walked into a beautiful brown house and walked upstairs and walked to the right side and opened up a drawer. And in that drawer, he seen a little boy's clothes and a little girl's clothes. And it was just sitting in there. And the Lord pulled him back out. And the Lord told him, if you expose it, that Willis Church will see revival. So the service begins to happen. Very first service, Verbal Bain gets up. And he begins to stand in front of all those people, and he tells them, he says, the Lord pulled me out of here on such and such day, at this specific time. He said, the Lord pulled me out of here in a vision. He said, he took me down the road, took me a couple blocks to Oak Street, I'm just throwing a name out there, took me a couple more blocks, begins to name specific street names, specific houses, specific things he sees. And he begins to say, I walked up to a brown house. I walked up in there, and I went to the right bedroom, and in the second drawer, I pulled it out, and there was a little girl's clothes of the boy, of a little girl, and of a little boy. He begins to say, if you'll expose the things you've been doing, and you will expose and you will tell this church that this church is fixing to see revival. Well, Verbal Bain took them specifically to the pastor's house. He's never been there before. The Lord showed him specifically the pastor's house. And it turns out the pastor was beating and sexually abusing his children. Verbal Bain was used to call it out. That pastor resigned in that church, seeing 200 souls pray through in, I believe, just a couple weeks. That's the type of man we're praying, what we're talking about. And one of his books that he has, it's a sermon that was written down and used as an outline of prayer. And one of this books that Verbal Being has, and you can go online and you can find it, is the book called Prayer. This book, he begins to tell a story of how he was, this is pre-9/11, how he was in a plane with a fellow preacher, and they were flying somewhere, and the pilot came back, and he begins to walk, and he walked past everybody else and walked directly to Verbal Being and this other minister. And he looked at him and at them, and he said, "Would you like to come to the cockpit and see how I fly this?" Verbal Being said he was always fascinated with planes, and so he went on and he walked with him. And he begins to talk about how the pilot invited them to sit down. And Verbal Being sat down while the other preacher poked his head in, looked around, and then went and sat back in his normal seat. Now, Verbal Being begins to express how there's so much, such a difference between the cockpit and what's going on in the normal passenger seats. And he begins to talk about how when you're in the cockpit, you can see things coming before it ever happens. He begins to talk about in the cockpit, he begins to see things from a different point of view. He begins to see things from the pilot's point of view, and how his everything, how he looks at things, it all begins to shift because he's in a new position. And he begins to say how in prayer, how so many of us, we get just like that other preacher, where we walk in and we walk into, the Lord begins to draw us and ask us, "Do you want to come to the cockpit? Do you want to see how this thing works? You want to get to a deep place? You want to change your position?" He begins to talk about how so many of us, how we're just like that other preacher. We come in and we poke our head in and we just look around, and all along we turn around and we go back and sit down, when all along God's invited us to seek to get to a deep place, to change your position so you can see things in a different position. You can see things before it ever happens. You can watch as the Lord begins to show you new things, and the Lord begins to take you deep places because you're in a different position.
Amen.
Right. He showed them a new perspective. He showed them a different point of view, all because he was willing to get to a different place. I'm telling this church, I'm telling some saints of God in this house, that the Lord is wanting to do something in this assembly. He's wanting to do something in this church. But He will not do it. You gotta hear me tonight. I'm telling you, He will not do it if you're not willing to push yourself to go deeper.
Alright, amen.
There's some of us that are frustrated with God, and we're frustrated because we thought we would see greater by now, and we thought that our babies would pray back through, and we thought that we would, we thought so many things, and we still haven't seen it, and we're questioning God why, and God's asking us, why are we not hit deeper? We're questioning God why has He not came through for us? But all along He's questioning us because He sent the invitation, but He's just waiting for somebody to start walking. He's waiting for somebody to get out of your patty cake in prayer, your "No, I'll lay me down to sleep" prayer. He's trying to get somebody to move to a place of intercession, of moanings and groanings, a place where you're speaking a heavenly language where you don't even understand what you're praying for. But the Spirit is making intercession, and the Spirit knows what you're praying for. How can we expect not sinners to come in and want this Holy Ghost when we've allowed it to grow stale? How can we
expect people us to see a hundred soul revival come through this assembly. When we come in and we just go through the motions. I'm telling you, it won't happen unless we get to a place of deep. We won't seek a revival we need to see unless we push ourselves to a deeper place. We're not going to see what the Lord wants us to see unless we allow ourselves to get to a place where we give Him complete control. We won't see it. We won't see revival that we need to see. We won't see your babies come pray back through. We won't see the healings. We won't see the miracles. We won't see the signs. Until we give up us trying to control it, and we allow the Lord to begin to control services. Allow the Lord to begin to control the moving of the Holy Ghost. As long as we got our feet in the ground and we're standing up as an anchor and say, no, we got to sing this many songs and we got to have this one offering and the preacher's got to preach this way and the music's got to do this for me to worship. Somebody's got to hype me up to prayer. I'm telling you, we won't see it. We won't see it anchoring ourselves against the movement of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We won't see the revival that God's wanting to give us as long as we're opposition to the flow. It won't happen. I want to tell you, the deep places bring revival.
Yes.
When you're willing, the greatest revivals I've ever seen is when there's a church that's willing to come and they're willing to get in and get to a deep place. It's when the church is willing to come and they're willing, they come in for that pre-service prayer and they begin to push themselves even on Tuesdays or on Wednesdays, even when they're worked all day, when they're tired in their body, even when they fought hell and they've been fighting everything that they could fight. It's when the church was willing to come in and say, God, I know I have a lot of needs, but I need you more than anything. God, I know I've been fighting some things, but I need your flow. I need revival. I need my kids. I need my babies to pray back through more than I need anything else. It's when they're willing to get in the flow. It's when they're willing to come by the house of the Lord, even when it's not service time. They're willing to come in and begin to seek the face of the Lord. And they're willing to come in on a Thursday when they have no reason to be at church. But you know what they do? They unlock those doors and they come in and they slowly get underneath a pew and they begin to pray and it begins to rain heaven and the heaven begins to come down and all of a sudden things begin to shake because they're willing to get in the flow. We have no business not praying and walking up.
Amen.
Where we need to be. It doesn't matter if you're the drummer, the singer, the usher. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher. I'm telling you, we have no business coming out praying and coming in behind an instrument, behind a plate. We have no business doing that because we're not effective. What we're doing is we're anchoring against the flow of the Holy Ghost. I know I'm preaching hard tonight, but it's my last night, and I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help this church. We can't do it. It won't. Hey, if it's just on our flesh, we're not going to see it. If it's just dependent on you, we're not going to see revival. If it's just dependent on me, we're not going to see revival. We're not going to see it in our flesh. We're not going to be able to do it just by ourselves. It's not going to be might. It's not going to be power. Oh, it's not going to be us. And what the Bible says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. Though in other words, some might trust in their own music ability. Some might be able to trust on their own gifts that they have. But I'm telling you, you will not see it. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. We're going to trust in the stuff that works. We're going to trust in prayer. We're going to trust in supplication. We're going to trust in fasting. We're going to trust in the things that work. And so tonight, the Lord is putting out a hand of invitation. He is asking. Now we know that the Lord is a gentleman and He won't force Himself upon anybody. And you know what? It's the same for revival.
Right. Right.
It's the same for what God wants to do in this assembly. He's a gentleman and He won't force it upon us. But He simply sent a preacher to ask. He simply wanted to ask us and put His hand out for us. How deep do you really want to go? How much revival do you really want to see? Do you really want to see your baby pray back through? Do you really want to see sinners come through those doors and pray in this altar and receive the Holy Ghost? Hey, I'm telling you, we can have a line waiting to get baptized.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, we can have so many people on this altar that it's going to have to take more than just a preacher to help pray them through.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
We can have it. But it's just a question of how bad do you want it? What the Lord does is He sends a challenge. That's the reason altar calls are so important, because the Lord sends challenges. And it's almost like He's saying, okay, baby, the ball's in your court. Do what you want with it.
Right. Amen.
And so tonight, what we're going to do is I want you to stand with me. I know that we're not going to have any musicians right now, because I think that the Lord is wanting to take us to a place where we're not dependent upon music or entertainment or preaching.
Amen.
But I think He wants to take us to a place where we just force ourselves to get down and we pray. I think he's trying to draw this church to a place where we break out of just everyday services. We break out of just going through the motions, and we get to a place where we're so deep in the Holy Ghost that we get to a place where people walk in through those doors and they get on this property and they can just feel that there's something different. Because more than just it being the name of this church, but the Lord is trying to build up a spiritual lighthouse in the spiritual realm, to where all along people are seeing and they're feeling things that they never felt before, and principalities and high places know that this is a place that's different than every other church, because it's a lighthouse, because it's a place of prayer, it's a place of dedication. Amen. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. If you'd stand with me, we're going to come down to this altar. And I want you to come and I want you to find a spot to pray. We're going to come down and we're going to lift up our voice. And If you got to kneel, if you got to sit down, that's fine. We can do that. But I just believe that the Lord is wanting to ask and to push somebody. I just believe that the Lord is wanting to really stretch somebody. It's almost like he's putting his thumb on you, trying to say, "Hey, are you going to go, or are you just going to sit there? Are you going to just say how it's always been? Are you going to get to a deep new place in the Holy Ghost?"
Yes, Lord.
Amen. So move with me tonight. Come down to this altar, if you would. Let's find a spot to pray. And I wonder, when you come, would you begin to lift up your voice? Hey, I wonder tonight, let's do it like this. Let's start off, let's come down to this altar. And can we turn this altar into an old-fashioned repentance right now? Can we just come down and can we just say, "Father, God, I'm sorry. Lord, if there's anything I've done, God, to hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if I've come to services and just gone through the motions, I need you to forgive me tonight. God, if I've come down and Lord, and I haven't forced myself to pray, and yet I expected you to open doors for me. If I've come down and I haven't forced myself to do exactly what I need to do, and yet I expect you to bless me anyway, I need you to forgive me tonight. Lord, if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my mind, I need you to forgive me. If I thought thoughts I shouldn't be thinking, Lord, if I've done things I shouldn't be doing, I need you to look at me and forgive me. Create a clean heart in me, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. God, if I look at that, if I listen to gossip I shouldn't have been listening to, forgive me. If I look on things I shouldn't have been looking at, forgive me, God. Forgive me, God.